Call her how it is. Hendrix. I promise it's fine, it's fine. I'm there,
hey guys, thanks for listening to another edition of the 503 for the Fans podcast. This is Noah, and you guys are listening to episode 11 as we'll be diving into the past very two frustrating games for Blazer fans against Denver and the Kings. And I'll be talking about possible trade ideas and what's to expect in the next couple games. But before I dive into this, make sure to follow the podcast network I'm a part of at their Twitter at Pulse Pod Network and follow their website at PulsePodcastNetwork.com, as you guys can find my podcast and many other great ones as well. And don't forget, we have a new app that is out, and it's called Pulse Podcast Network, and you guys can find many other great ones as well. And if you guys check that out in the App Store, download that, and you guys can check out this podcast on there. It's a great thing. So let's get this podcast started. On Saturday against Denver, it was a frustrating game. It was a game that we should have won. Denver was played 5 games in 7 nights. They were not rested. I mean, they just came off a frustrating loss to the Suns the previous night. They were on the back-to-back. The Blazers had a golden opportunity to win in Denver, and that's a hard thing to do. I mean, it's a great advantage Denver has with the mile high city, and Denver came out and just exploited Jokic exploited Nurk. I mean, Nurk was playing the best basketball of his career coming up till this game, and Jokic did everything. He showed why Nurkic probably got traded, and I love Nurkic, and he's a great player for us, but Nurkic was really stifled that game. I mean, Jokic went off. I mean, 40 points, he almost had a triple-double. Nurkic was just stifled, and he just had no answer for Jokic. I mean, the game plan that game was clearly to just allow Nurkic to go one-on-one with Jokic, and I think Terry Stotts thought he was confident in Nurkic, and I mean, so was I. I mean, no one expected Jokic to drop 40 on us. I mean, he hasn't done that against us. I mean, he's a great player, don't get me wrong, but him dropping 40 on Nurkic is not likely. I mean, Nurkic has, since getting traded, has had that upper hand on Jokic when they played against each other. That doesn't make Nurkic the better player, but Jokic is the better player, and he clearly showed it on Saturday night. I don't even want to talk about that game. That was a great opportunity for the Blazers, and I don't even want to talk about this game on Sunday, yeah, last night, but I'm forced to, so I haven't been podcasting much. It's been frustrating time. I mean, there was a quiet homestand, not a lot of teams were good, so I was just waiting for my placement, and I thought it was going to be the perfect time with this back-to-back, but sadly we went 0-2, so I have to do this. It was not a good night last night against the Kings. I mean, the first quarter looked solid. We came out looking like we weren't a team that was just playing a back-to-back, and we had everything rolling in that first quarter. I mean, it looked like we were going to roll away with it. I mean, the Blazers were playing well, and then the second quarter, the bench just came out and played like the bench that I knew that was like during that little cold streak we had in December. They played exactly like that, and I want to bring up something interesting. This is something I noticed. Dame went from shooting under 15 attempts in a game in 3 games straight. He didn't shoot more than 15 attempts in 3 straight games. That's the first time he's done that since the post-Aldridge era. So that speaks to how well the Blazers were playing. They were very well-rounded. Nurkic was scoring. CJ was scoring a little bit more. The bench was more there. And I know that's all at home, but still, it shows. I mean, the past 2 games, these are his attempts. 21 against Denver, 27 last night. Both losses. This is starting to be the formula that is showing that is killing the Blazers. I mean, when 27 shots, 35 points is great, but that shows that Damian Lillard is feeling like the other players aren't contributing, so he's feeling, okay, I have to pick it up and step it up. I mean, which he had to. It's not a good thing to do on the road, and you get what I mean. I mean, the Blazers were struggling against Denver. He wasn't getting a shot. He had 21 shot attempts. I mean, he should have that much. I mean, the Blazers aren't good enough for him to shoot under 15 attempts in that many games. But 27 attempts clearly shows that when the Blazers are complacent like that in iso ball, that they're not that good of a team. When they're playing as a team and everyone's scoring, everyone's playing well-rounded, this team's scary, and it's clearly getting to the way of where I think the Blazers need to make a trade, and it's unacceptable. This is unacceptable for CJ to have. I know you can have an off night, but he's had way too many of them before this All-Star break. We're 40-something games in. He's just so up and down. It's very frustrating. I mean, 6 points last night, 2 of 14 shooting. I love CJ. I've loved how he's played for this Blazers team. He's not the same CJ he was a year or two ago. He what does he do besides score for us right now? I mean, Terry Stotts doesn't even know what to say about that. I mean, he got asked a question. He's clearly frustrated with CJ. And there's been a lot of ups and downs for CJ this whole season. I mean, it felt like a season where CJ was going to have a breakout season. He was going to really start to hammer in the thing of people thinking, I'm going to be an all-star no matter what Damian Lillard is. I mean, Damian Lillard's always going to – he's probably going to be an all-star for a long time now because he's got in. He's got that higher edge on people now. And CJ, it's time for CJ to start getting that. But this season's not showing that, and it's frustrating. And we need CJ to play better. I mean, we can't pay 20 mil to a guy who only had 6 points against the Kings, who are not a good defensive team. They're in the bottom lower of the league in defense, and you're scoring 6 points. I mean, you against the Kings last time, he had an okay game, but it's not 6 points. He had 18. If he put 18 up, the Blazers win that game. It's clear cut. I mean, there's many times where CJ has needed to step up and he hasn't. And I love CJ. And if he ever was to listen to this podcast, like, I'm not hating on you and I still love you as a player. But we need more out of him. And it's clear. And it's clear. We need more out of someone who we're paying 20 mil a year. And he needs to step it up. And it's clear cut he needs to step it up. Let's talk about this. The Blazers are a frustrating team. You can put your hope into them. It dies down. I mean, it's always been what a Blazers team's been about, and it's time for the Blazers to get some trade ideas. Get a trade. The deadline's coming out February 7th. It's coming up in less than about 3 weeks. There's people out there. There's players out there that could help this team tremendously. And I brought up some Damari Carroll from the Nets. I mean, he's not a move-the-needle kind of guy, but he's a guy that's going to help. And he's a guy that would be an upgrade at the three position. Tayshaun Prince from the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, he's young. He's not proven yet, but he's a great scorer. He can play defense. So I would love to see him on our team. I mean, another guy that's young who can score, but the defense probably isn't there all the way. I mean, TJ Warren from the Suns. I don't know what his availability is, but he could be a solid 3-4 for this team. He can shoot the three. He can create for himself. I mean, we haven't had someone like that at the 3-4 spot in a long time. So, I mean, he would be a good fit there. Another guy, and I know a lot of people aren't fond of him too much. I mean, he's had some troubles in Dallas, but Harrison Barnes, I mean, he would be a huge upgrade. I mean, people think I've had people on my Twitter say, oh, he's not a move-the-needle haystack kind of guy. I mean, but how is he not? I mean, he's a guy that, I mean, he's getting paid ridiculous, so I don't know if we want three guys on a 20-year mil contract, so that's probably going to be the problem there. But he's like a guy like Otto Porter who would move the needle in the haystack. I mean, he's a solid three who can when he's on it, he's a great 3-4 in this league. So I don't know why people wouldn't want him on our team, because I would. I mean, he can create for himself. He can play some defense. I mean, he's won a championship. He, no matter what his exit from Golden State was, I mean, he's still a good player. I mean, I've seen it when we played Dallas. He's showed spurts of where I see, like, dang, why aren't you this good all the time? So I think he's very interesting. I mean, also, there's been some reports the Blazers been linked to Jeremy Lin, and I don't know why. And I know there's also been links that the Blazers are willing to give up a first-round pick, and they're telling teams that. So that's a good sweetener. I mean, the Blazers aren't going to have an awesome pick. They're going to probably be mid-20s, low-20s, depending on the playoffs. So I don't know why we would go for Jeremy Lin. That's a confusing target. I mean, we have Seth Curry, we have ET. I don't know where he fits in the backcourt. I mean, he's a scorer. He's averaging 12 points this season, I think. And he would be good off the bench, but I just don't know whose minutes he would take. I mean, we'd probably have to trade someone to give him minutes. And I think you don't want him taking any of ET's minutes, because ET's played solid this year, and I've loved every minute of ET this season. And that's a hard thing to say, because I was very haterish of him last year. But I mean, he's been doing a lot of things right. The turnovers, you can live with them. Sometimes they're a little excessive, but at the end of the day, he plays very solid defense. Probably our best defender, and he can muscle people down the post. He's a mismatch. I mean, if you put a 6'4" guard on him, like Jamal Murray or whoever you want to put on ET, if he's smaller, ET's gonna body him down. He's gonna say I'm your dad. ET's a solid dude. He's gonna back down someone. He got the butt for it. I mean, he's got everything you need. I mean, I like ET. I mean, as much as people hate for his money, he's still a solid player. And you can't hate on him for taking a contract someone offered him. I mean, the Blazers are kind of, I wouldn't pay him $75 million. I mean, take probably $10 or $15 million off it, and we'll call it a deal. But I like ET, and you can't have people. You can't have Jeremy Lin take ET's minutes, and you can't have him take Seth Curry's, because Seth Curry's been finding a stride these past 10 games. And speaking of Seth Curry, this was a confusing move last night by Terry Stotts. CJ McCollum, probably arguably his worst game of his career. Honestly, probably his worst game of his career. He had an ultimate lid on the basket. You take out Jake Layman, who's had a solid night. He started off 4-for-4 from the field, 9 points, who had a solid night. You take him out of the game. You take Seth Curry out of the game. Why not put Seth Curry and say, CJ, you need a wake-up call. Let me put someone in for you and show you what if Terry Stotts puts in Seth Curry and Seth Curry catches fire and we win that game? You never know. But having a guy like CJ who's shooting 2-for-14 from the field, you can't keep on putting him out. I mean, he was struggling in that game. He kept on missing shots after shots. Just take him out, put someone in, and if that player's not producing, put CJ back in the game. It's clear cut, and sometimes Stotts is very bad at keeping bad lineups in the game, and it showed in the second quarter. He kept that lineup out there way too long. I mean, Dame played the whole first quarter, and sure, you want to give him some rest, but you can't put Dame back in the game 4 minutes left in the half when we're down 10. You can't do that. You got to just sub him out and say, okay, you guys didn't do what you needed to do. Starters are back in. I get it to back-to-back, and I get that he needs to give the players some rest, but these are NBA players. They have healthy bodies, and the Blazers haven't been playing excessive minutes lately. I mean, the three games before that, the Blazers were playing – we're sitting out the fourth quarter. The starters sat out 2 straight games of the fourth quarter, so they're well rested. That's their first game in the road against Denver, and then they play their second. It's a quick 2 games, and then they go back and play 2 games at home. So it's a frustrating time. I mean, Terry Stotts needs to figure out his coaching rotations. He needs to figure out a lot about this team, and he needs to figure out what we need. And Neil O'Shea needs to pull the trigger on something. And I don't know if that's a CJ trade. There's a lot of CJ haters out there right now. A lot of people are on the boat to trade CJ. I wouldn't go that far yet. Let's see how he plays. I would give him the rest of this season, and that's about it. If he's not playing well the rest of the season, offseason is probably a must. It's probably a must trade if CJ doesn't pick it up. And let's talk about this. I'm going to go away from all that negativity. This is a podcast about the Blazers. I love my Blazers. Very frustrating time for them. And it's the past 2 games, you can't go 0-2 in the back-to-back, especially with how close the West is. They're sitting at the fifth spot. We're still in a solid place. I mean, we're four games out of first. You can't lose back-to-back games in the West and expect to be a high-tier team. So, obviously, I think there needs to be a trade done. We got the Cavs and the Pelicans up next, both at home. Those are two important games to win, because we go on a 3-game road trip against Utah, OKC, and the Suns. That Utah and OKC game that's a scary back-to-back. It's not a back-to-back nights, but that's a scary back-to-back games. You need to win this Cavs game. That's probably a must. The Cavs is a must. The Pelicans have been playing better as late. Everyone knows how we play against the Pelicans. They haven't been playing better as good as defense as they did last year, but they're still a solid team. So that's going to be a hard win. And I predict we're going to beat the Cavs. We're going to beat the Pelicans. At Utah, that's tough. that's where you get, oh, okay. And we've lost by a combined 60 points. I think 50 against Utah the past 2 games. The first game against Utah at home was not pretty. We lost by 30. It was the first time we lost by that much at home in a long time. And then we go Christmas Day against Utah, and we get our butt smacked again. So Utah's not a matchup I like. I mean, the Blazers they played some good games against them last year, and they actually started their 13-game streak playing Utah out of the All-Star break. So the Blazers can beat them. I just don't know why they fold so much against Utah. So that's a scary game. OKC is a solid team. That's always a scary game. I mean, we've had OKC's number in the past, but that's still a game that's, I mean, with how Paul George has been playing, with how the OKC has been playing this season, that's a scary game. So you got to win those two games against the Cavs and Pelicans, and the team just got to step it up. CJ straight up got to step it up. Nurkic has kind of disappeared the past two games. I'm looking for him against the Cavs to regain his confidence. We need him for these next five games, especially against the Pelicans, Utah, and OKC. We badly, badly need him to contribute and be that Bosnian beast he is. So we need that from him, and we need CJ to step it up, like I said, and we need Dame to continue his thing, keep on playmaking, and we need Layman. We need everyone. And I love my Blazers. We're going to do it. I'm confident in it, and we're going to end this episode here. Make sure to follow my Twitter at 503BlazerFans, and make sure to tune in for many more episodes, and make sure to check out my iTunes and give me a subscribe. Thank you for listening, and peace out.